Today's Bible reading comes from Acts 8 and can be found on page 1086 in the Bibles in front of you. Starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Just out of interest, who was here last night for the living devotion? Okay. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
It was a very good night. Friends, Living Devotion was a live recording of an album that we're putting together, a CD. It's acoustic, which means it's a little quieter. It's hot. It's very good. And I just want to add this piece. When I was converted in the mid-70s as a high school student at the old St. Paul's, we didn't quite dream of doing anything like that, but we started to mess around with guitars and drums and stuff, and we had to fight our way to get them into church. And when we were allowed to get in, we weren't invited back, and we had to fight to get back in again. And so whatever, however long it was since the mid-70s until last night, it's been a journey. And it was so much fun last night. I hope that you buy the CD when it comes out. It will bless your soul, be good for you when you do your devotions as you walk with Jesus. Just awesome thing. Anyway, I should not keep going with that, because I could. We need to get about the Word of God. So let's do that. About 2 years ago, my wife and I celebrated 25 years of walking together, being married together. Very exciting. And we'd always thought that for our 25th, we'd do something a little out of the ordinary. We'd go to some nice romantic place to celebrate 25 years. And so as the date came, we started to plan that, think about it. And one day, we were sitting in our family room, each with our own laptop, searching the web to see where we might go. And so we'd Google away and type in this and look at that, and we'd compare screens. You can't compare notes. We compared screens to each other. And as in the middle of all of that, our then 20-year-old daughter walked in and said, "Ah, oh, look at that. Where are you kids off to?" Looked at her, and then we said, "We're going to such and such a place. Can I come?" "No." "Oh, no." We found a place to go, so booked a week away, got this fantastic, unbelievable package. Flights, accommodation, all the food taken care of, and so having that all signed, sealed, all we needed to do was deliver ourselves to the airport, got to the airport, plane took off, instantly relaxed as we flew to our destination. And when we got out in the tropics area, the sun was warm. Air was clean. Water was so inviting. And so we lazed in the sun, snorkeled and ate, read and ate, lazed. I dived, Robin read more books, and then we ate. We watched the sun set and we ate. After a week of doing that, we're just thoroughly refreshed and rejuvenated, delighted, ready to come back into the real world a little. One of the things that I organised for our return flight was a pass into a lounge, you know, airport club lounge. So I organised that because I thought it would be really good to leave our destination, get to the airport, have a nice breakfast in a quiet area rather than sitting in the harsh reality of the waiting terminal. And so we got that all organised, turned up early at the airport, walked to the door. The hostess wasn't there. We waited for what we thought was a reasonable time frame. No one came. So we wandered in because I had the pass, found ourselves a couple of lounge chairs, and then eyed off the buffet. And I started to load up. Mangoes, sweet pineapple, papaya, hams, bananas. You remember bananas? They're like, you know, bananas and stuff like that, fresh yogurt. And then over the top of all of that was that alluring, sweet smell of freshly baked croissants and coffee coming over the whole lot. And everything was just relaxed. And my chest was proud because I took care of this little detail. The hostess finally came back in and noticed that we were new to the lounge, and so she came up, introduced herself to us, and asked to see our boarding passes and the pass into the lounge. I said, sure. So I pulled out the thing, and she went, oh. And I'm thinking, oh. She said, I do apologise, but this pass is not valid in this lounge. I said, what do you mean it's not accepted here? What do you mean it's not valid? Well, I'm afraid that it's not valid and I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Now, my chest proud deflated and my heart, I felt beating, and there was a tinge of embarrassment coming across my face. And of course, you'd know from a balding man that it's not just his face that goes red. And everyone can see every millimetre of your scalp. I cannot recall looking at Robin. I can recall mumbling something about having to leave. I have no doubt that the look on my face is like the one on my dog's face whenever he's not allowed to sit at the dining room table while we eat. He sits there, ears down around his paws, big eyes, woe is me, I'm sad, I'm woeful, you'd mistreat me, I'll put you to the RSPCA. He sits there with all those thoughts going through his mind. Because it doesn't matter how close you get to something where you want to be, if you are excluded, it doesn't feel flash. Though I've never met a particular boy, my mother would tell a story with such clarity that I have seen his face for nearly 50 or 55, almost for 50 years. She told the story of this boy that she knew in a country town of Gundawindi, where she grew up. He was adopted into a family, and this time around, presents were being distributed. One particular Christmas, you know, all the biological children, not that I don't know how many there were, but they all got new presents, as did the adopted boy. The biological parents, children got things like a new dress, new hat, new balls, new bike, brand new stuff, lots of it. He was given a balsa wood glider. Do you remember those? That was his Christmas present. It doesn't matter how close you are. If you're excluded, it doesn't feel good. And if ever you've been in that situation, you know, maybe you're in your 60s, and when you get together with friends, they start showing photos of their grandchildren, but you can't show any for a whole lot of reasons. Maybe you're a single again woman, or maybe you're like Jesus and single in your 30s as a male, and you eat Sunday lunch alone because no one at church invites you around. If you've ever known anything like this, then you will know that no matter how close you get to something that you want to be close to, if in the end you're excluded, it doesn't feel very good. We're in the middle of a series called Unleashed. We're looking at the Holy Spirit and how He defines the church, the Spirit of God's definition of the church. He is saying to us that you can tell when you come across an authentic church when people welcome other people, when the not perfect are included. when no one is excluded. It's as if the church puts up a sign, no perfect people allowed. When you find one of those, you are in an authentic church. But this is counterintuitive, friends. This doesn't sit well with us because at first we don't understand it. It just doesn't make sense. You're saying, John, that the Spirit of God is saying, if I'm not perfect, I'm welcome. And the answer is yes. So it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Though I want to say, I for one am glad that that's the case. Because I am under no illusion that a vertically challenged balding 50-something is not the definition of perfect. If you think that that's the definition of perfect, I could lend you these, my glasses, and you could have another look. If the church was only for perfect men, then it would be full of Eamon Sullivans, wouldn't it? Or George Clooney's. If the church was only for perfect women, then they'd all look like my wife. Thank you. I don't know whether I got myself in or out of trouble just then. The Spirit of God says to us, you know that you've come across an authentic Christianity, a genuine church, when the sign says, no perfect people allowed. And we see it in the passage that Trudy just read out to us or in the outline that you received on the way in. So I want to look at it with you so you see I'm not pulling rabbits out of a hat. So if you've got the outline, open that up. If you've got a Bible, open that up, an iPhone or whatever. Turn to this passage and let's look at it. If you would look at the passage in front of you, we're going to look at the little numbers. They tell us where we're up to. So looking at verses 26 to 29, they're the small numbers. And if you've got a Bible, it's chapter 8, verses 26 to 29. So let me read these again for you. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down to Jerusalem, it's from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Philip started out and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near to it. Philip comes across a very influential man. This is a man who would not be out of place in the Hills District or a number of other places in our great city of Sydney. He is treasurer for the Queen of his land. He is the country's treasurer, or he is the CFO of a major multinational corporation. His decisions affect national and international economies. With the stroke of a pen, wages are set, benefits are extended or withdrawn. With a directive, taxes were increased or interest rates lowered. He's also a wealthy man. He's able to travel internationally in private coach. And he's wealthy enough to possess a scroll. Now, in the ancient world, not everyone could afford a scroll. Scrolls were often written on leather, skin of an animal, and they were handwritten, labor intensive. You had to have a lot of money to buy one of those. This man had one. He was also an Ethiopian. Now, he's not from modern-day Ethiopia. He's from what we call the Sudan, just south of Egypt. And if you're looking at the Red Sea, it's halfway down the Red Sea on the left-hand side. This means he has that wonderful dark black skin that the Sudanese have. It's his colour of skin defined every other colour in the rainbow. He was an impressive man. A man of influence, used to interacting with royalty, dictators, emperors and courts, and no doubt he carried himself very well. This man could open doors in any nation. Hotels would welcome his custom, waiters would give him due honour, governments would listen to his input and to his advice. And this man, we're told, was also a God-fearer. He was devout enough to travel 1,200 kilometres from his home in the Sudan to Jerusalem. That's like travelling from here to Noosa. He did that not on a private jet, nor in a limousine, air-conditioned limousine from Sydney to Noosa. He did it in a carriage, 1,200 kilometres, drawn by horse. Also that he could go to the temple in Jerusalem and worship God. Now, as impressive as this man is, he did have this is a delicate matter, though Australia's Funniest Home Videos delights in showing videos of men falling awkwardly while women laugh and men groan in tears. This is a delicate area. For this Ethiopian, though, it was far more delicate. He was a eunuch. And the passage before us highlights this. You notice that it said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road." And then in verse 33 we read words, "Who can speak of his descendants?" In the Old Testament, the language used to describe men like this, dry trees. Men in his position were always eunuchs. As boys, they were sort of identified for their acumen with figures, with their ability to serve the royal court. They had quick minds, and so they were castrated before puberty set in, so they would not be distracted in their role. From historical records, men like this Ethiopian eunuch could conclude quite reasonably that he was a little more than simply castrated. It meant that he could not undergo the initiation into the Judaistic faith because, well, quite simply, he could not be circumcised. Here is a man cut for service in his world. But when he gets to Jerusalem after a 1,200-kilometre journey in a horse-drawn cart, with a wallet full of passes to business, courts, and councils, he is excluded from worshipping God in the temple because he is defected. He is not a complete man. In the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 23, verse 1, it says, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of God." Here is a man with status inconsistency. To make matters worse, as he comes back from Jerusalem after being excluded from the temple, he's reading the words of Isaiah the prophet, which say in verse 32 in that passage, the small 32, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." This is not just. Because he showed promise as a boy with numbers and potential to lead, he was cut off for service in his world. But when he gets to the temple, he is cut off from God. It's as though the temple had a sign up, "Perfect people only." Perfect people only. So I just want to make sure we see this. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch. He wants to worship God, but he can't because there is a big barrier between him and God. Now, he's not the only one to suffer imperfection, is he? You can build financial walls to protect your family from the wolves, so much so that when illness strikes, a significant illness, or when death comes or the GFC comes, your family is protected and you survive. But every now and then, we're reminded that we're not perfect. You know, you do your normal stuff. You come home with your briefcase as usual. You place it in the normal place that you place it. You have a meal with the family, and as you finish the meal and the washing up and stuff, you pick up your briefcase to go to a room to start to work on it, and your son says to you, "Hey, Mum, how come you bring a briefcase home every night? Dad, how come you bring a briefcase home every night?" And you say, "Ah, well, you know, work is busy and I've got to do some work, you know, sort of like homework." And then your son says, "Well, can't they put you in a slower class or something?" And at that moment, something happens here. And if you roll the tape ahead, a friend of mine who used to work for Channel 7 said that there was a guy in the newsroom who, when his children got to 21, so after this man had done all his work, established all his financial securities, got everything in place and reached a certain level in the media industry, when his children reached 21, he turned around to start to relate to them, and they said to him, "You've not spoken or related to us really for 21 years. You, we don't want to do anything with." At that moment, with all the financial success, you become aware that you are not perfect. With the increased pace of life, we're robbed of sleep, we live with anger always just bubbling beneath the surface, which means if we're bumped the wrong way, words and actions and thoughts fire off in retaliation for the smallest offence. Like someone cuts in on you in the traffic and all of a sudden you see red, or they take your car park at the Towers. You can't believe that someone would have the audacity to do that. And there are hand signals and horn noises. Or a child dares to interrupt you while you're watching the footy or the TV ad and you glare at them. Or did you see the campaign for the new Bonds commercial that's coming up? 52,000 children have been put online to sort of like work out who's the cutest in our world. And they scrolled through some of the Facebook comments. One of them was just awful. A lot of them were awful. This one stood out. A face that only a mother could love. Fancy saying that about a child. What drove some smart so-and-so to say that? At moments like that, we think, what is wrong with me? Or worse, you don't think anything's wrong with you, but if I was to listen to your children, or if I was to listen to your partner. And a disturbing thought comes to our minds, no matter how you weigh it all up. You're not perfect. And you wonder if you're good enough for God. And so you sit with the Ethiopian eunuch, somewhat cut off from God, wallet full of passes to all kinds of places, but apparently we don't have one to God. Well, let's look again at the Ethiopian eunuch and the story. There's more to this story. So we go back to the small number 29, verse 29. The Spirit tells Philip to go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip said. It's interesting. Just a brief note, why he was reading out loud was just how you read in those days. Part of the reason for that is that your text would have looked like that. No gaps, no punctuation, no nothing. Or in English, it would look like this. And so in order to get the meaning, you had to read it syllable by syllable. And so he's just reading out loud. So thanks, we go to the next slide. He's reading it out loud, and we pick it up again in verse 30. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. And he said, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him, and the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture out loud. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb led before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, is the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" And then we're told Philip began to explain from that very passage. It's a really... who is this about? You know, the answer is always Jesus. Again, it's like a Sunday school class and the Sunday school teacher's out the front and they go, "What's about this big and about this big and it's all grey and little fluffy ears?" And the kids are silent. "What's about this big, little fluffy white ears, button nose, little black beady eyes? What's about this big?" And finally, some kid puts a hand up and says, "It sounds like a koala, but I'm sure the answer is Jesus." You know, it is, here it's Jesus, not a koala, it's Jesus. This passage, Philip starts with, he says, in his humiliation. Now, humiliation comes upon us when we've been busted. Like when an NRL star is busted for alcohol-affected behavior. Or when a woman is caught with another man, with another woman's husband. Humiliation comes because we've done something wrong, we've been caught, and you know that you've been caught, you know that you're guilty, and so you are humiliated. But the one in this passage, we're told, he was humiliated even though he did nothing wrong. He bore our shame, the text says. In fact, if we were to go back, as I will, to Isaiah chapter 53, you can make a note of that and look it up later. Isaiah chapter 53, we'll see some of this. It says in verse 4, "Surely he took up our infirmities, he carried our sorrows." Verse 5, it says, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquity." Verse 6 says, "The Lord laid on him the iniquity," or the sin, "of us all." And on top of that, "He bore the sins of many." He took upon us what we should bear ourselves, our shame, our humiliation, but he took it upon himself. And Philip must have delighted to take the Ethiopian to a couple of other sentences that occur in chapter 53, verse 5, for example. "He was crushed for our iniquities." Or chapter 53, again, chapter 56, verse 3, where it says, "Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord," Ethiopian, "say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch say, I am only a dry tree. Because to them," God says, "I will give them within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and they will not be cut off," God says. What that must have said to the Ethiopian. What it must have said. You see, what's happened is Jesus comes and reaches out to people like the Ethiopian so that the Ethiopian can be reconnected to God. And that all took place when Jesus was crucified. And what's more, the Isaiah prophet tells us that by Jesus' wounds, we are healed. We are restored. Our imperfections are dealt with, and forgiveness is offered to us. The pass that's missing from the Ethiopian's wallet is found in Jesus. Where once this Ethiopian was excluded, now Jesus includes him. And I think Philip might have added a few other pieces, like Jesus had a habit of reaching out to those who were imperfect so that they might be reconnected to God. Think of the leper, Philip might have said. There was a leper who had to walk around with a bell saying, "Unclean, unclean." He was cut off from his family, his friends, and the people of God. He could not worship God either. But Jesus reached out and touched him and drew him into the community of God. Think of the woman who had a bleeding condition for 12 years. That meant she was cut off from her family, her friends, and the temple of God. But Jesus let her touch him, and then he healed her and drew her back into the community of faith and back to God. Jesus was in the habit of just restoring people to God's community. And how all this had to be sweet music to the Ethiopian eunuch, didn't it? Once excluded, now included, once cut off for service in his world, no longer cut off from God, because God welcomes the imperfect. And that is the message of the authentic Christian church. No perfect people are allowed here, but everybody else is. My question to you is this: would you like to be included? See, Jesus is not like the New South Wales MP who came out with a smart statement during the week. You know those sober rooms we've got? Got to be sober before you get to them. I think, what's that all about? Jesus doesn't say, you've got to be perfect before you come to my church. He says, you're welcome to come as you are. And an authentic church is a place where the sign goes up, "No perfect people allowed." The Spirit has a stunning picture for us here of Philip and the Ethiopian. Can you see it? The Ethiopian is that wonderful, dark, rich, black skin. Philip, by comparison, is very light. The Ethiopian has money to travel independently on his own. Philip is a refugee fleeing religious persecution. And of course, we ought not to forget the matter of differing testosterone levels. As we read into the book of Acts, we find that Philip has four daughters. The Ethiopian has no wife, no children, and no plans for any of that. These men could not be more different, yet neither is excluded. Both are included, not because they look the same, but because they looked in the same direction. They looked to Jesus. And if you could pan the picture back for a moment, you would see that there are others in this picture over history. There are men and women throughout the ages, imperfect people, but they look to Jesus, and so they get to have their photo taken with the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. I wonder if you are in that photo. And if you are you glad that you're in the photo, that you've been included? Well, church, now it's our turn to do what Philip did and actively reach out to others to make sure that they know that there is a God who would include them, because we will invite them to come. My question, though, is still, would you like to be in that picture? Would you like to be included? I am grateful that 37 years ago, Jesus reached out his hand to a scared, insecure, pimple-encrusted 15-year-old and drew me to himself. I may have been and have been excluded in a number of circles in the last 36 years, but I've never been excluded from God, my Father. Maybe you feel God would never accept you, but you could not be further from the truth. You ask those around you. Ask the ex-convict who's sitting amongst us. He will tell you that no one is beyond Christ's reach. Ask the victims of abuse sitting around you, or those who ruined their first marriages, whether they are beyond the reach of this Jesus. Ask those who have done damage with a cutting tongue, and they will tell you Christ reached out to them too. Because no one has to remain cut off from God. Would you like to be in the picture that Jesus is taking? For some of you, there's a voice whispering in your head now saying, take the offer. Take the offer. If you are hearing that, if you're wrestling with that, then take the offer. All you need to do is say, God, I'm thankful that you died on the cross for me, and I would like to be included now. Jesus still has his hand extended to you, saying, come home. What will my wife say? What will my husband say? Last week in my office, a man has been coming to this church for some 5 years, wrestled with that question a little. I assured him that his wife would be deliriously happy if he said yes to Jesus. He did, and she is. Don't let things stop you. Come. A prayer would be something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for bearing my humiliation, for being my whipping boy. Thank you for reaching out to people like me. I would like to receive your offer of forgiveness. Include me, who until now has been excluded. Amen. If that prayer captures something of what's happening in you, answers the voice in your head, then you can repeat it in your head as I pray it. And after we've done this, we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to baptize Amelia in here, who's also come to my master. And she wants to publicly declare that. If you say yes to Jesus this morning, you might want to be baptized. And you might want to come back later today and do that. Please talk to myself or Marty or Eric, he's the easy one to find. He's wet at the end of the service. And we'll help you understand that. Or you might say, you know what? I'm going to be like the Ethiopian eunuch. Here is water. What stops me? If you would say yes to Jesus and you want to be baptized now, this is a bit out there for me, let alone any of you, then we have a spare set of clothes and some towels out the back. And if you would like that, just come down the front here and we'll help you out. Because it's really important to get connected with Jesus. Again, the prayer is, Lord Jesus, thank you for bearing my humiliation. Thank you for reaching out to people like me. I would like to receive your offer of forgiveness. Include me, who until now has been excluded. Amen. I'm going to pray that. Would you join me? And if it's a prayer that echoes your head, would you say that with me, or in your mind at least? Lord Jesus, thank you for bearing my humiliation. Thank you for reaching out to people like me. I would like to receive your offer of forgiveness. Include me, who until now has been excluded. Amen. If you prayed that, then I want to say this to you. You who were once cut off are no longer cut off. You who were once far away have been drawn near. It is a brand new day, and I would sure like to meet with you after the service and say hello and welcome to the family of God, because at this church we say no perfect people are allowed, but we like to include everybody.